Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning. If you could please bow with me in an opening prayer. Dear Lord, we're so thankful to be together again. We're so thankful to be able to worship you, to know that we have eternal life. We pray that today we can put the world aside for a moment to focus our eyes on you. We pray that as we sing, as we worship, as we welcome, we pray that we have the joy in our heart, in our soul, that we worship with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And we pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you, Alex. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to have Steve and Susie with us today. Look forward to hearing from him. And why don't we stand as we sing our first couple songs this morning.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the crystal sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, who wast and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. They hymned their King in strains divine. I heard the song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. Hear all who suffered sword or flame for truth or Jesus' lovely name. Shall victory now and hail thy While everlasting ages roll, eternal love shall feast their soul and sings of bliss forever new. Rise in succession to their view. Rise in succession to their view. Oh, God of hosts on high adored, who like me thy praise should sing. O almighty King, holy, holy, God of hosts on high adored, holy, holy, holy.
Be seated, please. Pete, we need to go on to the next song. Okay, for communion service this morning, sing about Jesus and Him being worthy.
Worthy. King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you. Holy, you are holy. King of kings, Lord of lords, you are holy. Worship you, Jesus, you are Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, you are Jesus, Jesus, you Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you.
Each of you should have received a small communion cup when you came in the front door. If you did not receive one or pick one up, please raise your hand and one of our ushers will bring one to you. On Monday night this last week, there was a funeral at the Park Avenue Church of Christ over on the west side. Steve Fox preached the funeral service, and it was for a well-loved and respected member of that congregation, a man by the name of Charles or Chuck White. I didn't go to the funeral, but I got a copy of the obituary. And as I was reflecting upon our thoughts this morning on about our communion, it occurred to me how the comparison might be made of this communion service to a funeral service. See, in that funeral service, a couple hours before the funeral, the family gathered together. They had a dinner that was prepared by their friends. They came together and enjoyed their fellowship, relatives from all over and friends, and they came together. Even as they went through the funeral, all the thoughts were focused on that person inside that casket right up here in front where our communion table normally stands. Think about it. Think about that. Our communion table. If we had the body of Christ, it would be right here. It would be on that casket. But as Mary said, He is not here. He is risen. Yet we come together as a family. We share a meal. And what brings us together is our love and our devotion to this man who was Jesus Christ, part of our family, our older brother. I don't know if you ever thought of this as a funeral service, but the parallel is uncanny. So we come together, now we have that frame of mind. How should we think about this? We have a common meal in symbology. We have the bread that represents the body of Christ. We have the fruit of the vine that represents His blood. We share it together as a family. And all our thoughts are focused on this person who has left us, but is still with us in our minds and our hearts. And that's how it should be for this communion service. If you would, open up your bread end of your cup and prepare to remember this body that was here for a while, that lived and walked the earth as a man, but who has now gone. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our oldest brother. Would you bow with me, please? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your gifts to us, the gifts we enjoy every day, our food, our shelter, our safety, our families, the love of one another. But Father, we most especially thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. He came to earth with your blessing. He walked among us. And he left, having redeemed all of us with his broken body, with his shed blood. Father, as we partake of this bread, we ask that you would help us to remember that we are your family and that Jesus Christ was part of us, our oldest brother. For this is our prayer, through his name, amen. fruit of the vine. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the cup with the fruit of the vine in it, and he passed it among his disciples, his apostles. And he said, drink, this is the New Testament, my blood, the new covenant. His promise to us that if he went away, he would come again. He is not here. He is risen. Praise be to God for that. Would you bow with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the pain and the suffering Christ was willing to go through, for his blood shed on that cross, that he might redeem us all from sin. Fathers, we remember through the words of his disciples and his apostles handed down to us over the years. Father, we ask you to touch our hearts, touch our minds. Help us to develop the love in our hearts and our minds for you as we have for Jesus Christ, in whose name we partake of this fruit of the vine. For this is our prayer in his name. Amen. Due to the COVID restrictions, we no longer pass a collection plate. However, there is a collection plate on the communion table in the vestibule. So if you did not put a contribution in that when you came in, you can put one in as you leave, or contact the church office, whatever works for you. This is a custom. It was started by Paul as he collected money for the famine in Jerusalem, the members of the church there that were starving. And they collected money every week throughout the Roman Empire. And then Paul and his companions took it to Jerusalem. So we ask you to lay by in store each Sunday, as God has prospered you. Would you bow with me, please? Father, as we pause this morning to reflect upon your Son, Jesus Christ, let us also reflect upon the many material blessings you've given us, our food, our shelter, our blessings in so many ways, our families. Father, we ask that you'd help us to give a small portion of what you've given us to lay by in store, so that we may continue the work of Jesus Christ in this community, so that this church may reach out and take the gospel to others. Father, help us to be cheerful givers, to be grateful for all that we have, all that we are, because we know it comes from you. This is our prayer, through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have our faith and our hope and our glory, and amen.
Let's sing them out as we go class. Oh, in the class, okay. We talked about that class, 1 through 6, okay. So anywhere from 2 years old to 6th grade, right? Okay. Let's sing them out with Jesus Loves Little Children, because he does.
Jesus loves little children, all the children of the world. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight.
Jesus loves little children of the world. Let's stand again and sing one more song, and then Steve will bring us our lesson for this morning.
For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. And I thank you, thank you. And I thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. How I thank you, Jesus, I thank you. Gratefully thank you. I thank you, thank you, Lord. And I thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. How I thank you. I thank you, gratefully thank you, thank you.
Can I be seated?
In a moment, I'm going to read this morning's scripture reading. After I get done reading, we'll have our guest speaker this morning. I don't really need to introduce him to you. Most of you remember Steve and Susie Fox. Steve was a preacher here for 23 years. And, you know, this is how much we love Susie, that we will endure listening to Steve for 20-some minutes this morning just so we can say hi to her. 45, he said. 45 minutes. No, I get the... 25. Just kidding. No, we're so excited that they're here with us this morning, and can't wait to hear what Steve has to say. Prior to his sermon this morning, I'm going to be reading from the book of Acts, chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
I noticed you put your railings on the side there so you can go right into the plants. Just for me. Good morning, church. As I drove into the parking lot this morning, I told Susie, I said, "Look around, see if you see any men with burning torches or any tar or feathers." We didn't see a thing, so we came on in. It's really nice to be here. I'm very glad to be here. I appreciate the invitation to come and stand in this pulpit again. A lot of things have happened in the past 7 years, 8 years that we've been at Park Avenue. A lot of things have happened here. We all got older. Boy, some of you really got older. Isn't that right, Chris? Susie, since we saw you last, Susie and I celebrated our 52nd anniversary. And yes, the rumor is true, if you heard the rumor. Two families sent her a card of sympathy. Luckiest woman in Kanawha County, and she doesn't even know it. And next week, next weekend, Susie and I are going to go to Searcy, Arkansas, where Harding is, to celebrate my 50th college anniversary. Just going to be a bunch of old people there, so time moves on. And time moves on with some great friends like you who sat where you once sat and with grace and patience listened to me preach. We're going to start this morning with a quiz. There are no right answers to this quiz. You can say whatever you want to. You may be wrong, you may be right, that's okay. But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to prophesy right now what you people are going to say when I say this. Now, you have never heard me read these sentences before. But when I say something, I guarantee you're going to say it. And some of you are going to sound really, really old if you know the answer. Okay, let's start. You wonder where the yellow went. Well, it was pretty weak. Yeah. Now let's just throw this away. This ain't gonna work. How many of you knew that? Be honest. Yeah, how many old people knew that? Okay, let's get a little easier. Pop, pop, fizz, fizz. This is the worst chorus I've ever heard. Everything's better. Like a good neighbor. You're in good hands. He just keeps going and going and going and going. Anybody know what the longest advertisement on TV is? Still on. Would anybody like to guess what the average, what the longest advertisement on television is? Mr. Whipple? Don't touch the Charmin. Don't squeeze the Charmin. And you know why it's so, the reason it's so important and the reason it's so special and the reason it works is because people who do stuff like that and have research like that say that if you pick up the product, your chances of buying that product goes up about 50%. If you pick up and hold it and look at it, you're probably going to buy it. Now, some people set it back down, but Mr. Whipple was told don't squeeze it. And if he's told not to squeeze it, guess what he's going to do? He's going to pick it up and squeeze it, and that's going to make him maybe buy it. There have been million dollars spent to put in your head some things that I just said. Millions of dollars are spent so that when you hear something, it will do something in your brain. When you hear something, you go, oh, that reminds me of. Millions of dollars every year are spent to put things in your head so that years later you will think about it. You know what the best advertisement in the world ever was? The rainbow. It's up in the sky. It's where you can see it. And it's in color. God gave us a pretty good advertisement to say, I want you to think about this every once in a while. I want to remind you of this. Did you ever think about the fact that Jesus was part of an advertising agency? He advertised himself all the time, not in an arrogant way, not to say, I'm better than you, even though he was, not to say, I can do a whole lot more things than you can, even though he did. He was in part of advertising in his ministry. In Acts chapter 3 that Chris read to you a minute ago, Peter and John were doing some advertising. They were going through the city, going through Jerusalem, and here's this man who's been crippled from his mother's birth. From his birth, not his mother's birth. He wasn't around during his mother's birth. Okay, there, I made one mistake. Now we'll get it out of the way. From his birth, he could not walk. And for 40 years, he sat there every day. They would bring him out there and put him in front of the temple. And as people walked by, you've done this. You've done this to the Salvation Army. You've done this to people who are walking up and down the street asking for money. 40 years of people dragging him out there and just setting him there. Okay, we'll be back at 5 o'clock to get you. What a life. What a life. Just people would put something in your hand or put something in a paint can or put something in your pocket. That was his life. That was his occupation. And he said to Peter and John, you going to give me something? They must look like they were pretty good. Maybe they looked like they were pretty wealthy. You going to give us something? And Peter said, truthfully, I don't have any money to give you. There have been lots of times you walk by somebody downtown and they ask for money and you said, I don't have any money. Maybe you lied or maybe you told the truth. But if you didn't have any money, you didn't have any money. And that's what Peter said to this crippled man. And then he said, but I do have something that I can give you. Why don't you get up and walk? Yeah, right. I got some good news, but I got some better news. Why don't you get up and walk? Can you imagine a man walking, maybe even with a little bit of a tremor in his legs, who had never walked? Oh, he'd seen other people do it. Right, left, right, left, right, left. That's the way you do it. But he had never done that. Can you imagine walking for the first time in your life? What kind of exaltation would that bring to your heart? What kind of your heart pounding knowing that you're going to do something like this? Jesus advertised in many different ways. He performed miracles like he did in this passage in Peter and John did in this Acts chapter 3. Jesus did miraculous things. He did signs. He wanted to get people's attention. That's what advertising is all about. Put that in my head, and I will never forget it. When Peter and John looked at this man, he said, you can walk. Jesus did the same thing with some miraculous healings. He wanted to put those things in his head, in whoever's head it was, so that they would remember those. So that 20 years from now, that young man could remember the first time he walked. That 40 years from now, that young man could remember the words that Peter and John gave him in Acts chapter 3. This man carried out there for 40 years, unemployed, a beggar, isolated, poor, and in contrast, just somebody who, I guess you could call him an outcast. And the only reason people gave him money was to just, you know, okay, I'll go by and I'll put some change in there and I'll feel good. I don't know what that would feel like. I have to really stretch my imagination to think of somebody who had never walked before and finally gained the opportunity and the ability to do something he had never done before. You know what he reminds me of? The first time at the first time at Walmart when I saw a guy sitting beside a stop sign and said, we'll work for food. I think They've made that illegal now. You're not allowed to sit on the corner of real busy intersections. You can come over to my house and sit in front of my house if you want to, but I don't think it's legal to do that anymore. But those people standing there on a corner or sitting down on the grass with a cardboard sign, that's not much of an occupation. That's exactly what this guy was in Acts chapter 3. Peter says, I got big news for you, and then I even got bigger news for you. Peter and John were advertising. Jesus was advertising. Jesus was advertising mainly because of the fact that he wanted to get people's interest. As Peter and John walked by this man, what do they want to do? Well, first of all, the guy sitting there wants to get Peter and John to be interested in them. I want to show you some interest, but it's the other way around too. They were looking at a man that Peter says, I'm not going to let him go like that through the rest of his life. I'm going to change his life. You know, we advertise for God. Our feet become his feet. Our hands become his hands. Our voice becomes his voice. And the world sees that every day. And we listen to ads every day so that years later we will think about that. That's what Peter and John were doing on this occasion. That's what Jesus did during his entire ministry. Words have power. Imagine living your life for one day without being able to use any words. And I know for some of you, the top of your head would blow off, but just go for one day and not say anything. Go for one day and not say any words and see what happens. Our society is built around words, of course. The cell phone, the text, Twitter. Can you imagine going a whole day without Twitter? I guess I could. Email. You get an email every once in a while. What's in the email? Words. Words have power. Words give you information. Algebra 2 test will be taken Tuesday at 2 p.m. on the fourth floor of Adrian Welfare College. That gives you some kind of information. Gives you a lot of information. This is where I need to go. This is what I need to say. This is what I need to study. Everything we do is based around words. Cell phones, texts, Twitters, emails, all those are composed of words because they communicate something. They communicate something. Those words are words of knowledge. Somebody gives you a recipe, there are probably going to be words on the card. Somebody has to go take a test, it'll probably involve words. Somebody has to deal with an emergency, it'll probably involve words. Do you know how men are made believers? I was listening to a guy on TV, this is 10 years ago. I was listening to this guy and he said, there are thousands and thousands of Christians who never even heard of the Bible. And when he said that, I thought to myself, I don't need a list of 1,000. I'd like to have a list of 1. You know what the gospel is? When you get right down to it, when you get to the bottom line, when you filter everything out at the end of the day, it's words. And you decide what you're going to do with these words. Words that came from Jesus. Some people have never read those words. Now, don't misunderstand me. I didn't say couldn't be saved without that. I didn't say you couldn't go to heaven without that, because there are going to be a lot of people in heaven who maybe don't know those words. But once you learn those words, you're going to have to decide what you're going to do with it. Am I going to obey these words, or am I going to just fail these words completely? Our society is based on words. Do you know how men are made believers? Romans chapter 10. I hadn't planned on saying this, but I just was reminded. Romans chapter 10 at verse 8. We'll read that in just a minute. I don't know how many years ago it was, probably 20, 25. I was preaching up here and I looked back where Rod Hall was sitting, and he had his computer open. And I thought, oh, that's rather rude. Reading something on his computer. Got the iTab, what's it called, the flip thing? Yeah. And he had that open and he was sitting there reading it. And a couple times I just looked over there like, how dare you? Of course, y'all know what he was doing. He's reading the same text that I was reading, except I had a little older text than he had. When I first came to Kanawha City, 1991, I had this Bible. I put some duct tape on it. It works. It's okay. But I'm not going to throw it away. And Bob Midkiff said, the first Sunday I was here, man, we're going to have to give you a raise. Where'd you get that Bible? You need to go get another Bible. And I said, Bob, I can't, because my grandmother gave me this Bible on her deathbed. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry. I apologize. I said, I'm just kidding. She sold it to me on her deathbed. I couldn't throw that away for anything. I was reading out of this. Rod was reading out of his new computer and laptop and whatever it is that you guys work on. That's what he was doing. So I apologized to him afterwards. He didn't even know what I was thinking, but I needed to apologize to him. We all use those words, and words make men and women believers. Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 8. But what does it say then? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess, what do you do when you confess? You use words. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, how do you call upon the name of the Lord? With words. And how shall they believe in whom they've not heard? What do they hear? They hear words. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? A lot of you know the next verse at Romans 10:17. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What do they hear? What do you hear when you hear those things? You hear words. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings, for Isaiah says, who's believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they've never heard, have they? Indeed they have. For their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the earth. Paul, in that one short paragraph, says, the way you respond to the gospel or the way you don't respond to the gospel has a whole lot to do with what you hear. The words that you hear. The words that are there. The words that are there that 20 years from now you still remember. And 40 years from now you'll still remember. That's how men become believers. They become believers through those words, through those words that you hear. And somebody says, well, that's something you can just get through human wisdom. Really? Nobody ever heard Socrates say, if you come to me, those of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Socrates never said that. Human wisdom never said that. Socrates never said it. Plato never said it. Aristotle, Einstein, none of those men, not one of them ever said, come unto me, all you who are laboring or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. John chapter 20 at verse 30, John wrote, I'm writing these, what's he writing? He's writing words. I'm writing these words so that you will believe in the name of the Savior and have eternal life. John's saying, you need to listen to those words. And by the way, if I were writing down something where I described everything that Jesus did, it'd be a book that was so big that the world couldn't hold it. I wonder what would be in that book. Words. In Acts chapter 11 at verse 13, Peter was going to Cornelius' house. And he had a dream, and Cornelius had a dream. And God told Cornelius, you let him come into your house because he will bring you words of truth. What was Peter going to do when he walked into that house? You know what he's going to do. He's going to give that message to Cornelius and his household. It's amazing to me how words work. It's amazing how many words we use every day. It's amazing what our life would be if we didn't have those words. Let me, in my weak way, try to explain to you how important words are. If ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be in summer. Seeing you in summer, I never could go. Your hair streaked with sunlight, your lips red as flame. Your face with a luster that puts gold to shame. If ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be in autumn. How I'd leave in autumn, I never would know. I've seen how you sparkle. When fall nips the air, I know you're in autumn and I must be there. And could I leave you running merrily through the snow? Or on a wintry evening when you catch the fire's glow? If ever I would leave you, how could it be in springtime? Knowing how in spring I'm bewitched by you so. Oh no, not in springtime. Summer, winter, or fall. No, never could I leave you at all. Now when they put on the play Camelot, and Robert Goulet sings that song, why doesn't he just walk out on the stage and say, I ain't leaving. You know why? Because there's words, and there's beauty in words, and there's integrity in words. And words have power, and when you construct them in the right way and you put them together in the right way, they are more powerful than anything in the world. Words. Have you listened to the words of Jesus? Have you read the words of Jesus? But wait a minute, there's maybe a more important question. Have you ever obeyed the words of Jesus? Jesus talked about faith. Jesus talked about hearing those words. Jesus talked about repentance. Jesus talked about confession. You know what confession is? Confession is using words to say, this is what I believe. And when a person is baptized into Christ, usually, not always, but usually somebody says some words as that person is baptized, explaining to the person who's doing it and to the people around him that what you are doing right now is obeying the words of Christ. If you've never obeyed the words of Christ, this congregation is singing this song as an invitation to you to do exactly that. And one of these days, 40 years from now, 60 years from now, something will hit up here and you'll know exactly what the right words are. Let's stand while we sing together, please.
Offend me, I come, with a humble heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne, lifting holy hands to you as I pledge my love anew. I worship you in spirit, I worship you in truth. Make my life a holy praise unto you. On bended knee I come, with a broken heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne. As I look upon your face, show your mercy and your grace. Change my life, O Holy Spirit. Make me fresh and ever new. Make my life a holy sacrifice to you.
I want to thank Steve for those words. It was great to have Steve and Susie here this morning. It just feels like the good old days. Just so happy to see you guys. We are continuing our work in our search for our next minister, and I understand that the job description has been sent out, it's been posted, it's been advertised. We have had some folks respond, and as that process progresses, we will be communicating with everyone. So keep that in your prayers. We just pray that that God brings us the right folks to help serve in that capacity. Before we dismiss, let's close in prayer. Dear Father, we're so thankful for this day and for this opportunity to gather together with our church family to sing songs, to read your scripture, to hear the wisdom that was brought to us this morning from Steve. We pray that you can continually bless Steve and Susie, and we're just so thankful for both of them and for them being here this morning. And Father, we are thankful for the message that was brought. We often choose to subject ourselves to the wrong words. And it's my prayer this morning that we guard our hearts and our minds by making wise decisions when we subject ourselves to either your word or things that can uplift you, or we can also choose to surround ourselves with evil and with impure thoughts. Help us to be wise when we choose to how we choose to spend our time, who we spend that time with. Father, help us to go out into the world. Help us to be a light to the community. Help us to bring others to Jesus. And it's in his name we pray.